All right, Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3 tonight and verse 5. And we're just going to really look at one thing in verse 5 after we read the entire verse. Malachi 3 and verse 5, the Bible says, "And I will come near to you to judgment. I will be a swift witness against the," and then it has this list, "the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against the false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts." So God is coming. He's looking at them after coming off and saying, "Look, I am as a refiner of the silver." God's desire and God's goal is to make us better. And it's to strengthen us, and it's to make us what we ought to be as Christians. Praise God that we will never face the wrath of God as saved people. We will face the chastisement of God, but the chastisement of God does not come out of wrath and anger. It comes out of love, just like a father would have for his child. It is a chastisement. However, sin is judged by God, and sin itself comes with a judgment just by the nature of sin itself. And specifically tonight, we're looking at this sorcery that is listed here. He will come in swift judgment and a swift witness against the sorcerer. So let's pray, and we'll look at this tonight from the Word of God. Father, I pray that you would help us. Lord, it is amazing to me, as we look at our country and we look at the amount of witchcraft and sorcery and everything that is taking place in our culture and our society, I pray, Father, that we would be founded upon your word. I do pray that you would convict if anyone is in any way has this stuff in their homes, Lord, that they would remove it from their homes and that they would realize that Satan is real. And our spiritual warfare is a real warfare, and we need to be aware of it as it takes place around us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we look at this. Sorcerers deals with magic, enchantment, witchcraft, divination, and it is done by the assistance or supposed assistance of evil spirits. Sometimes it is actually the assistance of evil spirits. Sometimes the people are just fake and they're doing it, but it is still the supposed assistance of evil spirits. And so we look at this. Heathen countries in the Word of God had sorcerers, and they did real black magic. There is no difference between white and black magic. It's all evil. It's all witchcraft. And we look at this, but Exodus chapter 7 and verse 11, the Bible says, "Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments." What did they do? Well, Moses cast his rod down on the ground before Pharaoh, and it became a serpent. That was done with the power of God Almighty. He had already previously demonstrated it to Moses there. And the Bible says, as amazing as this is, that these sorcerers did the exact same thing with their magic and their enchantments. Satan is a powerful being. There's no doubt about it. These sorcerers, they turned through their magic, through their sorcery, they turned their sticks into serpents as well as Moses, through the power of God, did. So we look then to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. And the Bible says in verse 2 of Daniel chapter 2, so that was the land of Egypt. It was a heathen land. They had multiple gods. The plagues that came against Egypt were plagues that were against the gods, plural, of Egypt. And the Bible clearly states that. But Daniel chapter 2, this is the country of Babylon. And the Bible says, "Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the kings." Now, these ones did not have the power to do what the king was asking. He wanted them to tell him what he dreamed and then to interpret the dream. They were powerless to be able to do that. But nonetheless, these people, these magicians, astrologers, and sorcerers, they existed. And they were real. And they had real power. And it was not God's power. But it is a fact. Heathen countries had them. Turn to Exodus 22. Secondly, we're going to look that God gave clear command as Israel came out of Egypt. God gave a very clear command as Israel came out of Egypt. Exodus chapter 22 and verse 18. Now, why did God need to give these commands? Where had Israel just spent 430 years? They had spent 430 years in Egypt. What was in Egypt? Sorcerers and magicians that had real power that was seen and visible. So the nation of Israel was exposed to these things. So God gave commandments dealing with them. Exodus chapter 22 and verse 18 says this, "Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live." Now that's what God put the law down for the nation of Israel. If anybody comes out of Egypt with you and they start to do this magic and sorcery that they were doing in Egypt, that person under their law was to be put to death. Now, does God think seriously about this? Yes. Why? Because it's Satan's power. And that's what it is. So we look at Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. Continuing with the nation of Israel here, Leviticus 19, verse 31. Leviticus 19, verse 31 says, "Regard not them that have familiar spirits." Now, someone pointed out the fact that this word familiar comes from the word family, and these were spirits that would be passed down from fathers or mothers to children, and it would stay with the family as it would go down. It was a familiar spirit. And it says, "Neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God." Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus 20, verse 6. The Bible says, "And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a-whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people." We look at verse 26 and 27 of the same chapter, and it says, "And ye shall be holy unto me, for I the Lord am holy and have severed you from other people that ye should be mine." God says, look, you're not the same as those people in Egypt. You're different than that. Verse 27 says, "A man also or a woman that hath a familiar spirit or that is a wizard shall surely be put to death, and they shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them." Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Verse 10 and 11, Deuteronomy 18, verse 10 and 11, the Bible says, "There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or a daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer, for all that do these things," "are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee." God says, look, you're coming out of Egypt. In the land of Egypt, you were exposed to these things. You're going into the land of Canaan. In the land of Canaan, these things take place and exist. And he says, look, that is the reason, it's one of the reasons that I am driving those people out from before you. I'm going to give you the land. He says, you don't follow in the ways that they follow in when you get there. You look at these things. You've got divination, observers of times, enchanters or witches, charmers. You know, you think of people that wear good luck charms. What are they believing in? What are they trusting in? What are they thinking? A consulter with familiar spirits. You know, this would deal with tarot cards. It would deal with fortune tellers. It would deal with palm readers. It would deal with any of those dark little shops where people go in to be told their future in some way, shape, or form. Wizard or necromancer. A necromancer is one who talks with departed spirits. dealing also with a fortune teller, anything to do with a crystal ball or the eight ball that you shook and look for the answer in it, anything to do with a Ouija board, anything to deal with, and we'll get more practical here in a little bit. But all of this, God says, there shall not be found among you any of this stuff. So, okay, what does that mean? It means it was not to be in their homes. It was not to be a part of their life in any way, shape, or form. There is not to be found among you anything to do with any of these things. Now, that's pretty clear. And that's the way God wants it. Saul turned to a woman with a familiar spirit, 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. And verse 23, 1 Samuel 15 and verse 23, we're first going to establish Saul's rebellion. The Bible says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. But because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Now here, Saul had not at this point done anything with witchcraft. But God was telling him, look, you did not obey me, and because you did not obey me, that is rebellion, and any person that disobeys God is rebellious. Some people disobey God, and they don't know yet that what they were doing was wrong, but when you know that what you're doing is wrong, and you choose to do it anyway on purpose, that is rebellion against God. God says that sin is in the same list as witchcraft. That's pretty strong, isn't it? Same list as witchcraft. So this is Saul's attitude and spirit at this time. Turn to 1 Samuel 28. 1 Samuel chapter 28. And verse 3 through verse 13, the Bible says, now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and wizards out of the land. So when Saul became king, he went through the land and he got rid of, according to the word of God, the wizards and those that had familiar spirits out of the land. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not. Why? Well, Saul was a rebel. He had rebelled against God. If you want an answer from God, you have to submit to God. And he says, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Then said Saul unto the servants, instead of saying, I need to get right with God, instead of saying, I need to repent, instead of saying, I need to get on my knees and seek the face of God, Saul said, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. Now, I wonder if they knew that or if they had to search that out. I don't know. It doesn't tell how long it took to find this woman with a familiar spirit. And Saul disguised himself, verse 8, and put on other raiment, and he went, and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night, and he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirits. Now, let me ask something. Is this familiar spirit a godly spirit? It's definitely not the Holy Spirit, is it? So what kind of spirit is it? This was a satanic spirit, a spirit that fell with Satan, was cast out of heaven, and bring me him up whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up to thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, I don't know whether she didn't expect it to work, whether up to this point she had been a fake and a fraud. I don't exactly know why she was so shocked at this. But she saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, "Why hast thou deceived me, for thou art Saul?" And the king said unto her, "Be not afraid, for what sawest thou?" And the woman said unto Saul, "I saw gods ascending out of the earth." This woman clearly went into the spirit world. She saw these things. She saw Samuel. Samuel spoke with her and told her, "This is the message I want you to give to Saul." She spoke with the dead. This is real. It's not a fairy tale. It's not something to be played with or tinkered with. This is real. And by the way, just for your information, Helen White was the founder of the Seventh-day Adventist movement. Helen White very clearly claimed and said that she spoke with her dead husband and had communication with him. That makes Helen White a witch. If you ever run into a Seventh-day Adventist, take them to this passage right here and say the only place that we see someone in the Bible talking to dead people was the witch of Endor. And Helen White, if she did indeed talk with her husband who was dead, she was doing so by the evil spirits. She was a witch. If she did not, she is a liar. So either way, the whole cult is disproven from their very foundings, and that it needs to be known by people. Turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 10, and we see here the declaration at Saul's death by God. 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 13, the Bible says, "So Saul died for his transgression which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it." God said to the nation of Israel, if you inquire after they that have a familiar spirit, I will cut you off. God did so, and God let it be known to all of us to this day, several thousand years later. Saul died because he talked to the dead and sought after a witch in this case, those that have a familiar spirit. We look at 2 Kings. We look at 2 Kings, and I want to show you a comparison of kings of Israel. 2 Kings chapter 21. 2 Kings chapter 21 and verse 6, we're dealing here with Manasseh. Manasseh was a 12-year-old boy when he began to reign. In verse 6 it says, "And he made his sons, as he grew up, he got older, he was king, he had children. He made his sons to pass through the fire and observe times and used enchantments and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger." We compare that with just in chapter 23 of 2 Kings and verse 24. 2 Kings 23 and verse 24, here's a young man who became king. His name was Josiah, and when he became king, he wanted to do right. And the Bible says in verse 24, "Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and the wizards and the images and the idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem did Josiah put away, that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord." So what they did, they went back and they read the Bible. And when they read the Bible, Josiah looked and said, "Whoa, we have a problem. We need to line up with the Word of God." And lining up with the Word of God includes putting all of these people out of the land. And that's what he chose to do. One, God says, Manasseh did wickedly. Josiah is commended for what he did in the Word of God. That's Old Testament. You say, well, that's Old Testament. Well, they were in the New Testament too. Acts chapter 8. the book of Acts, chapter 8. Now, I believe that there was a shift in the way that Satan worked from the Old Testament to the New Testament. You notice in Jesus' time, there is much dealing with people that were possessed of evil spirits and all of that. And multiple times we see Jesus dealing with them, and the maniac of Gadara, and the boy who cast himself into the fire and into the water, and just different cases that Jesus Christ dealt with. As you move into the New Testament, you see a couple of cases of that. The Bible really doesn't give us a lot of instruction how to deal with sorcerers and witches and people that are possessed with devils. I believe as we look in the New Testament, God tells us that Satan has transformed and become more of a minister of light, and his angels as ministers of light. I believe that he deals more with the false prophets of today, trying to get people not to know the truth of the gospel, and he does it in a way that people can feel comfortable with, rather than this dark path that was used more in the Old Testament. However, it still does exist. Acts 8, verse 5 through 12, the Bible says, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them." So what is he doing? He has a very good purpose, doesn't he? He's preaching Christ unto them. "And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did." So Philip is preaching Jesus Christ. People are beginning to listen. Verse 7 says, "For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city." When Jesus Christ is working, who else begins to work? Well, Satan does. "But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself were some great one." So this was a real man. He had bewitched the people of Samaria. The Bible says so. And they believed that he was a great one. Verse 10 says, "To whom they all gave heed, from the least unto the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God." Now look at this. They were attributing these devilish acts of this one to the power of God. Philip comes in and preaches Jesus Christ, and they realize this isn't God. "And to him," verse 11, "and to him they had regard, because that a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." And then Simon himself believed also. And we look at this and we see that when people believed Christ, they no longer believed in the witchcraft and the sorcery and all of that. It's not that they didn't believe in it. They did not follow it. It was real. They did not follow it. Acts chapter 13. Verse 5 through 12, we see here another instance. Acts 13, verse 5 through 12, "And then they were at Salamis. They preached the word of God in the synagogues." This is a great thing happening, isn't it? The preaching of the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. Why were they there preaching in the synagogues of the Jews? They were trying to convert the unsaved. Again, they're not Seventh-day Adventists going to hold church there. They were there to preach the gospel. These were unsaved people. They needed to get saved. "And they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God." So these two are together. The sorcerer and the deputy. The sorcerer doing what he's doing best, trying to get power, along with the deputy. The deputy may be using the power of sorcery to hold his power, but the two of them together, but all of a sudden the deputy is now interested in Jesus Christ. He calls for them to be heard of them, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. Verse 8, "But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. So this man is seeking to turn away people from God. Then Saul also, which is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O, full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? So, do God and sorcery go together in any way, shape, or form? None at all. And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. So the guy got converted. Sorcery withstands Jesus Christ and the preaching of the gospel. They don't go together. They're not compatible at all. So that's New Testament. Well, guess what? These things exist today. Today, there are witch doctors. Today, there are witches, fortune tellers. Halloween is a holiday that is completely based around all of that. You say, oh, I don't know. Well, this week, I believe it was the Los Angeles Times article in the Los Angeles Times, they're calling on all of the witches in America to meet together in different places across this land to put a hex on Donald Trump, to make his presidency ineffective. It's real. They're really doing it on the Crescent Moon, and the Los Angeles Times is laying out in the article how and what to do and what to say that all these people get together and do this. It's that blatant in our country. It's real. It's here. October 30th, 2013, Wicca, which is witches. It is a religion of witches. Wicca was the fastest growing religion in America. So really? Yeah. Faster than Islam, which is incredibly fast right now. 1990 to 2001, Wiccans went from being 8,000 individuals involved in it to 134,000. See, you say, well, you know, I haven't heard that much about it. Well, it's, do you realize the rate in just a few years, 11 years, they went from only 8,000. 1990, I graduated from high school in 1991. Okay, that time to the year 2000, 10, 11 year period of time, they went from only 8,000 in the entire country of the United States, or at least only 8,000 that they would admit that they were Wiccans, to 134,000. That is multiplied more than 10 times, more than 12 times. You think about it. They say from that time on, it's now doubling every 30 months, every 2.5 years, roughly. It's doubling in the United States of America. Why? Why? There's some website witch school that one website claims to have trained 200,000 witches themselves. They have completed their course on that. Think about that. 200,000. And you say, why? What is the difference? Well, one, people are going away from God. One, people are not in churches where they ought to be hearing the preaching of the Word of God. Two, let me ask this question. Has anybody ever heard a full message preached on sorcery? See, we've got to be awake. It's in the Bible. We've got to lay it out. But you say, why? Well, sorcery's been made to look cute. Movies are full of it. I started to look things up. I thought, I'll just ask, how many Disney movies have witchcraft in them? And the list, it was not countable. I was not going to spend the time to count it. It went on and on and on and on and on and on. You know, and I'm looking at it, and some of the movies I recognized and some of them I did not. But it was full of them. You think of this newest thing, Beauty and the Beast is full of witchcraft. Aladdin is full of witchcraft. The Sorcerer's Apprentice, oh, well, that's just Mickey Mouse. It's full of witchcraft. You say, why is the interest? Well, family. Isn't the Walt Disney family collection, right? Well, it should be probably called the Walt Disney Devil Collection. You think about it. The list went on and on and on and on and on and on. And this is the stuff, it's been made to look cute. You go way back to just the old television, Bewitched. Bewitched is what? You know, you wiggle the nose and things happen. What is it? It's witchcraft. And through the media, it permeated the homes of America, and people became desensitized to the reality of it, and it just became cute. We've got to wake up. Sorcery has been popularized by books like Harry Potter. And honestly, if you were to look, there are hundreds and thousands of books today that deal with witchcraft. It has been put into games that draw people into the occult. The Ouija board of old, the game Dungeons and Dragons. And then it becomes videoized or whatever, becomes a video game where people can access it at any time and follow through with it, and people get addicted to it. Many, 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 many video games now deal with the occult and witchcraft. It's incredible. You say, why are they doubling every 30 months? It's all over our country. And children go to church on Sunday. Then they go home, they watch movies and read books which glorify sorcery, magicians, wizards, werewolves, vampires, zombies, demons. And we wonder why people aren't dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we've got to wake up. Our country is being overrun. We are getting back to where Satan is getting, he's shifting again. He doesn't need to now put on the persona as a minister of light anymore. People are welcoming the darkness. And you watch it as the country goes into the tribulation following the rapture. All of the angel of light type stuff is going to disappear, and the full-blown Antichrist and the beast and the creatures coming out of the abyss, they're all going to become openly present. And then what will people think of their dark magic? It's a work of the flesh, Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16, Galatians 5:16 says this, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are," what? "Contrary." They don't go together. Christian people don't participate in anything to do with witchcraft. They're contrary to one another, the flesh and the spirit, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And right square in the middle of that list, you got adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. What is this? These are the things that war against the Spirit and cause you to not be able to do the things that you want to do for the Lord Jesus Christ. And witchcraft is right there in the middle of it. It is a work of the flesh. It ought to be avoided by Christians at all cost. Acts 19. Acts chapter 19, verse 18 through 20, the Bible says, "And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds." What'd they do? They believed. You know, every time in the Bible that you see people getting saved, you see a change in their life. They don't stay in the old wicked sins of the flesh. What is this gospel that is being preached today that has no effect of change in life? Think about it. What is this salvation that leaves people in darkness? No, it doesn't. It frees people from darkness. Christians don't have to live in sin anymore. These people believed, they came and confessed and showed their deeds. And verse 19 says, "Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver." That's a lot of money. They didn't sell them. They didn't bring their Harry Potter books and put them out at a yard sale. They burned them. They didn't bring their Aladdin and Beauty and the Beast and Bewitched movies and all of this to a yard sale and sell them to other people. They burned them. They got rid of them completely. They didn't take their video games. I know they didn't have them back then. They didn't take their video games that involved sorcery and all of this and bring them and sell them to other people. They burned them. This stuff is devilish. It's wicked. It needs to be burned. It needs to be gotten rid of completely. It does have an effect. It is real. Satan is real. And these people, some of these people that were putting the hex on Donald Trump, you know what they said? They said, "I don't believe in the devil. This is no different than a prayer for a Christian." Well, there's a huge difference. Because we pray to God Almighty. And you believe in the devil or not, if you're involved in witchcraft and you're praying to the devil. Whether you believe it or not, you're praying to the devil. They burned them. And it says this, "So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." What happened? People believed the Bible and the Bible changed their lives. The Bible changed their lives. What happened? What happened to the days when people believed the Word of God when it was preached and it changed their lives? What happened to the days when people that were involved in a sin and the Word of God was opened and their sin was exposed and the Holy Spirit worked in their heart and they came to the altar and they got rid of them and they burned it and they got rid of all of the wickedness and all of the sins? What's happened? Are people listening anymore? Are they listening to the Word of God, or have they been so numbed by the world that the Word of God has no effect in their life anymore? When was the last time you were convicted of something by the Word of God? When was the last time the Word of God worked mightily in your heart? Now let me ask, is it the Word of God's fault? The Word of God is the same Word of God. It worked in these people's hearts. You think about it. When was the last time that you read the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God convicted you of your sin and you came and said, "I'm going to burn it"? These things need to take place. We need to be convicted. We need to be changed. Revelation 21, verse 8. Revelation 21, verse 8, right in the middle of the verse, the Bible says this, This is after the great white throne judgment. It's declaring what took place with those people. It says the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I like to fellowship with Christians. Boy, I don't want to fellowship with the devil's people. And I don't want to fellowship with people that are meddling with the devil. And I don't want that fellowship to be through media or any other means. Sorcerers right there in the middle of that. And then Revelation 22 and verse 15. This passage is hard. The millennial reign is over. The great white throne judgment has taken place. People have been cast into hell. And somehow we come to Revelation chapter 22. The Bible tells us that so shall we ever be with the Lord. And from this point forward, verse 14 says this, blessed are they that do His commandments. You know that God is still in eternity going to have commandments? He is. And God says, blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. And there's a city and the rights to a tree of life. This passage is hard for me because I don't understand how it fits. What I mean by that is the next verse. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. And I look at that and I think, where did they come from? Okay, the millennial reign is finished. The great white throne judgment is there. We go into eternity. Where did these people come from? I don't know. I just have to look at it and say, I'm sorry, I don't have the answer. But even here, when some have access to the tree of life, there are those who are still going to be committing wickedness. I don't know who they are. I don't know how this takes place or whatnot. Satan has been bound and thrown into eternity. So I don't know exactly where this fits. But I do know this. From all the way back to all the way forward, the power of the devil is real. Satanism is real. And all forms of familiar spirits, tarot cards, Ouija boards, Dungeons and Dragons, all forms of games, Pokemon probably fits in there pretty well if you read the history of it. All of this stuff is just Satan, just like Elymas the sorcerer, trying to get people to withstand them from hearing and believing in Jesus Christ. It's real. And let me say this. Most of the rock musicians are heavily involved with witchcraft, Satanism, the occult, and everything that goes along with that. So that fits right in with everything else that we list, from the group Antichrist Devil's Church to all of the heavy metal and so many of the... You look at them and you can tell. And you look at their effect on people and you can tell. And you look at the people that follow them and you can tell. We got to stay away from this stuff. We got to walk with God. We got to have the Spirit of God speaking to us, dealing with us. We cannot... We don't dare give to this world. We don't dare allow this world to manipulate our thinking. We've got to stand on the Scriptures, the Word of God needs to work mightily in us today as it did in the New Testament. It needs to work as mightily in our church. It needs to work as mightily in our families. We need God more than ever before. And we've got to be praying. We've got to be fighting against this stuff and not allowing it to influence our lives. Let's stand to our feet. Have a song of invitation. Father, I pray.